Good evening. I don't know about you, this is my favorite service of the entire year. There's something, it's beautiful. I wish there were times I could bottle it up so that in June or July, I could just experience some of this. I know God is with me always, but I'd like a little of this too. There are so many people that go into Christmas Eve, but I do want to say a particular thank you right now and how grateful I am to the choirs, St. George's. We so appreciate you. Thank you for what you do for us. A familiar passage, our gospel reading today, particularly for those who have been in the church. John's prologue, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So this year, our gospel reading leaves behind the familiar trappings of Bethlehem and mangers. John sets up the incarnation, this birth of Jesus, in a much more ancient, cosmic context. It's mysterious. And we likely perceive that there's deep wisdom here, and it's something that should pique our curiosity and our minds and our imaginations. I think we instinctively know that these words spoken by John contain seeds of significant importance, seeds that we want to grow. Seeds. A seed does not move, breathe, or grow, and yet it is alive. It looks dead, but deep within it is hidden a mysterious surprise. It might seem small and lifeless in our hand right now, but once awakened, it has the potential to produce an abundance of life out of all proportion to its current state. Something so small can produce something much larger. Gardeners, farmers, you know this is true. Within this seemingly lifeless container lies one of the greatest wonders of life, locked in as a genetic code that is capable of unleashing a burst of life. There might be a forest in a single seed. You may have heard it said, you can count the seeds in an apple, but can you count the apples in a seed? All it needs is to be awakened. I read an amazing story about this. In ancient Egypt, a tomb was discovered, and there was grain that had been deposited in Pharaoh's chamber together with his remains. And thousands of years later, this was all unearthed and discovered, and the team that discovered it planted some of those seeds, and they germinated. The death concealed within the tomb could not overcome the life preserved within those seeds. All things, John says, came into being through Him. Without Him, not one thing came into being. And what has come into being is life. And the life was the light of all people. Friends, you and I originate in God. The Apostle Peter will write about this and say that we've been born of incorruptible seed. The Spirit, the life, the Word of God that lives and abides forever within. Now the seed might have been trampled underfoot or treated with disdain, abused, even forgotten. But it's incorruptible. It can't be destroyed. There is life preserved within that seed. And in this promise of the incarnation, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world to bring this light of life. Well, our St. George's staff up in our staff kitchen where we get together and have lunch sometimes, one of our staff members has taken to hanging some flip chart paper and asking a question. It's a good way for the staff to kind of get to know one another in a fun and interactive way. Questions about where do you like to go on vacation, etc. But the past few weeks, it has asked us about our favorite and least favorite Christmas movie. And as you might suspect, among the favorites were It's a Wonderful Life and Die Hard. Always at the top. But there was another movie which is a favorite of mine, although I think A Christmas Carol is my favorite. But among those listed is a wonderful movie called The Bishop's Wife. And if you don't know this movie, you need to see it. It stars David Niven and Loretta Young, Cary Grant, and I'm not going to give the plot away. You need to watch it. But there is an Episcopal bishop within the movie, and he delivers a Christmas Eve sermon. Tonight, I want to tell you the story of an empty stocking. Once upon a midnight clear, there was a child's cry. A blazing star hung over a stable, and wise men came with birthday gifts. We haven't forgotten that night down the centuries. We celebrate it with stars on Christmas trees, with the sound of bells, and with gifts. But especially with gifts. You give me a book, I give you a tie. Aunt Martha has always wanted an orange squeezer, and Uncle Harry can do with a new pipe. For we forget nobody, adult or child. All the stockings are filled. All that is except for one. And we've forgotten even to hang it up. The stocking for the child born in a manger. It's his birthday we're celebrating, you know. Don't let us ever forget that. As I hear that, I got to thinking, you know, at the top of Amazon's current trends, I doubt there's orange squeezers and pipes any longer. But it was all the rage back in the 40s and 50s when this movie was made, giving gifts. And the bishop concludes, so let us ask ourselves what this child born in a manger, what would he wish for the most? And the bishop begins to talk about loving kindness and charity. Absolutely. I think the child would wish for that, but certainly our neighbors wish for that. I've heard this said, you may have heard this before, it's not that God needs our good works, but our neighbors sure do. The world does. I want to give my own response as to what Christ might wish for the most. And I think it's that we believe. That we believe, most certainly, yes, that we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and our Savior. The Scriptures talk about that sort of believing, absolutely, but there's another sort of believing that I think He wishes for each one of us, particularly on this clarion call of Him coming to show us who God is, but also who we are. You see, Jesus came to unveil God's mind for us and restore humanity to the image and likeness for which we have been designed. That's what He wants us to believe. You and I matter in His eyes. He wants to awaken the dormancy of that seed, that imprint created in the image and likeness of God within us. It's one thing to say, I believe that God is the Messiah, but we can keep Him at arm's length and still live in fear of God. It takes more than that. We need to discover who He is that He is for us, that He is gentle and kind, and He wants our thriving, and He wants us to begin to believe, to dare to believe that we are the apple of His eye. Just as a parent takes great delight tomorrow morning, I know there will be parents out there who give their child gifts, a new bicycle, whatever it is, and the parent will take great delight in seeing that child play. Where does that come from? That's not birthed in us. We are mirroring our Heavenly Father. He takes great delight in the freedom that we can experience, knowing that we are loved and that we can share that love with one another. The true light that enlightens everyone has come. And friends, that light is not just a memory. This is not just a light spoken of by John 2,000 years ago. And we've got to try to remember this light somewhere. This is a light that is alive and present with us now. And no matter the condition or circumstances of our lives, no matter how dormant the seed of Christ might be or how neglected it has been, as Christmas dawns and breaks upon the world, my prayer is let that light of life shine upon you and awaken that seed. Dare to believe. It's why Christ has come to us in the first place, so that we would know. We would know God, and we would know who we are in God's eyes. As we discover that, and I hope you do tomorrow morning, you won't be rejoicing alone. We get a glimpse of what this does in heaven. When we hear the Christmas story, the angels couldn't contain themselves. You remember with the shepherds, all of a sudden the heavens burst forth with the angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He favors." And before you think, "Well, it's on those whom He favors, and that's not me," not so fast, my friend. He does favor you. You are created in the image and likeness of God. You, like Mary, are highly favored. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming, and indeed it has come into the world. As you wake tomorrow morning, know that His light brings life, and that life is meant for you. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas.